Well, good morning, ladies. While we're standing, we'll sing one more song, okay? And just to kind of call on the Holy Spirit, whatever song these gals decide, and then we'll have a little introduction, okay? So let's sing another song and just kind of give yourselves a chance to slow down and, pray for those folks in your heart, okay? So whoever God is kind of putting in your heart today is who you want to lift up to the Lord, okay? So begin to listen. Ask for a listening heart. Sing one more song. Well, it's great to be here with you, ladies. Can everybody hear me pretty well in the back? Is that okay? Why don't I bless your rosaries? Heavenly Father, bless these religious articles. And may they remind these women that somewhere in the world there are women suffering, who are suffering in some way that the prayers of these women, whether they're in their daily struggles or on their way to work, you can call down God's blessing upon them through Our Lady's intercession. And may the women who are praying for us and those here with us today, may our prayers unite women, protect them from abuse and violence, and help them to live the dignity and the freedom of their lives. And may Almighty God bless you and bless the rosaries, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, today, ladies, we're going to talk a little bit about the call of holiness. So the idea is, I'm going to talk for a little bit, give you a break, and then have another talk. And one of my hopes today is, you know, as I give these talks at various times in my priesthood, is to kind of help you realize that God has this mission and this plan for you. And by the way, how many of you are new to coming to the Holy Family Retreat? Anybody? Nice job, ladies. Look around at all these newbies. Great. We have to paddle you in, right? We have to... Oops. Sorry, that's my fraternity life speaking. Anyway, and just because there's so many new of you, I'm the youngest of 12 pregnancies. My mom had 6 miscarriages, so I claim those. Those are the 6 that my dad likes. They said, why didn't I get to keep those 6? Anyway... I'm a product of an alcoholic family, so those of you that have addictions in your family, we have a kindred spirit. And so my life has been Villanova. I spent 4 years in fraternity life drinking, drugs, dated somebody, thought about marriage, you know, but it just didn't work out. Got out, worked for a firm called Coopers and Librand, downtown at 18th and M. Started making a lot of money and drinking and smoking more pot. So that's what happens. You go from a college kid from drinking Milwaukee's best to a person making money and you drink more expensive beer and more expensive pot. So anyway, that's what happened. And that's how I ended up. I had a big conversion in Lent. I went to Mass every day during Lent. Those of you who are looking for Christ and you don't know where to find him, I'll challenge you. Ask your pastor to offer an extra daily Mass. Till the day I die, I'll offer at least one extra daily Mass in Lent because that's when I had my conversion. Sometimes I offer 2. My place now, I had 3. And then confessions after. And that was my healing. I just went to Mass every day. And at the end, I just said, wow, there is a God. I'm not him. That's a real bummer. And so I'm going to... really, like, and that was it. And then I had to go back to confession, right? That was a big one. That was a 2-hour confession, right? So the priest was on me, you know, he's like, gotta go to confession. And I kept blowing him off, and finally I surrendered, and after that, my faith just took off. You know, just a kind of a public service announcement. If you've been away from the sacrament of confession, don't be afraid, you know. Sometimes I find folks, they say, you know, you're a bad boy. We're going to take you to Father Dan, right? That doesn't help me in evangelizing. And then your, like, high school girl is like, I'm not going to that guy. No way. So... What I want to kind of drive at with you is, like, if you've been away from the sacrament, here's the way I want you to think about it. God wants to bring an abundance of mercy to the people in your life, okay? And if that is all, if that hose, you know, is like you, and if you imagine God is just like this faucet pouring his love in, and you're the hose, and you're all clinked up, it's really hard for God to kind of work through that. It may work through that, but it's going to be kind of tainted with you. But the moment that you sort of unclench the hose and allow God's mercy to kind of flow through you. But the only way you're going to be able to talk about mercy is if you've experienced mercy. You know, a lot of these modern day Catholics, they say, well, what do you know about mercy, right? And, you know, what do you know about sin, right? A lot of times people ask, what do you know about marriage? I said, not really, nothing. But I say, what's wrong in your marriage? And they'll tell me, I said, well, I know a lot about sin because that's what's wrong in your marriage. So that's how we kind of help folks to navigate their lives. But so one of the challenges, I just want you to say, if you've been away from the sacrament, you're like, oh, I can't believe he's talking about confession already. Well, the call to holiness demands that you have to allow yourself to be open to the mercy of God. You have to. Because too many times folks go through life and they're just not open. And the struggle, ladies, and I totally get this, you know, like, it's so funny, you know, I have some friends that I knew in high school and college when I was drinking and stuff, and, like, they see me and they don't want to go to confession to me, but they do want to go to confession because we did the very same things together, right? Because I almost want to say, oh, you drank a lot in high school. Yeah, 29 times, because that's how many I confessed, and you were with me every time, right? But I just want to help you realize, like, it's an incredibly liberating sacrament, okay? And it should be for you. It should be. And here's the thing. Once that grace begins to dwell up in your heart, you begin to actually help bring healing to other people, okay? One of the calls of holiness, and that's the title of the talk, is, you know, this kind of this, what does holiness mean? It means that you have to allow God to work through you. You have to allow God to work through you. And enough of this fear stuff, okay? The scandal made it clear that behind the black cassock, there's a broken man. Okay, fine. You got it. No secret, okay? I could have told you that, and I'm one of them. But the struggle is that we keep God's mercy at a distance because, you know, I don't want to surrender to that. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want the priest to think anything about me. Well, you know, it really doesn't work that way. Speaking as a priest, I really don't remember people's sins. You folks know my sins are much more enjoyable than yours, right? Most of you are married, so I'm much more fun. And the struggle that I see is like, come on. You have to realize that you have to heal people. You're going to hear me say that. You are called to bring healing to people. Your mom, your dad, Uncle Buck, I don't care. But in order to be an effective woman of grace, to be open to his mercy, then you know what? You need to bring God's grace there. You can't bring it to everybody, because believe me, I'm trying with my family, and they're not interested. But I'm trying. I'm going there. But I'm just telling you that if you allow God to work in this, then God will bring healing to people in your lives. Okay? And it may not happen in your time, and it may not happen the way you want. But God will allow that to happen. And I first want to kind of challenge you with that, okay? Can I say this? And I'm not here because I want to be your best friend. Some of you are impeding God's work in you. I don't know who you are, but some of you are impeding it because you won't surrender. And not every time when you surrender, you're going to get hurt. All right, maybe you got hurt a couple times. Maybe, you know, you were vulnerable. All right, it's happened to everybody. Male, female. But you know what? There comes a time when you stop claiming that as your shield. You come out from behind the shield and you say, you know, I'm not going to live that way anymore. I'm not going to live that way. You have the freedom to live as you want. Thanks be to God. You have that freedom. We're not robots. We're not predestined. You've been called and been given the grace of your baptism. But you know what? Sometimes you just have to take some ownership. You know, the second reading tomorrow is really beautiful. It's like, yeah, when the Lord went out and started doing his ministry, he had authority. He had authority. You know, when a person feels like they have no authority, they feel trapped. And when they feel trapped, they react in a way, either defensive or they attack. You want to get a pulse on somebody? See if they're defensive or attacking. That's not what you're called to be. That's not it. You ladies are called to bring the mercy of God to people at the hospital, in schools, wherever you find yourselves. That's the call. And when I work with women and I see this, sometimes they start out and, you know, they're out of the chute and they're ready to go and they want everybody to love Jesus just the exact same way that they do, right? Go get your matching diary and let's all just pray together. Here you go, honey. I got you this. You write and I'll write and we'll share together. It doesn't work like that. People pray differently. But the moment that you ladies begin to have authority, you begin to have freedom. Believe me, I spent a lot of years under the authority of booze and all that other stuff. And I thought, oh my gosh, I got a hook in my mouth and this is just going to be my destiny. Right? Getting pulled here, getting thrown there, right? Getting lashed against the rocks. That's going to be the rest of my life. And I bet you $5, you know somebody that I'm talking about just like that. They got a hook in their mouths and they're just slapping around and they're getting picked up and thrown back in and picked up and thrown back in. How are you going to bring them to the mercy of God? Okay? That's a real challenge for us, all of us. Holiness means you don't have to hang out your shingle and say, I've got it. Holiness means God works through you. Got that? That's the definition of holiness. Get out of the way and let God do it. Get out of the way. Just write that down. If you got to write it down, Vera, write that down in big capital letters. Right? Meg? Yeah, you too, woman. Write it down. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. And let God work through you. But you know what? If he's going to work through you, you have to sort of give him permission, right? And I admit that's hard. And so if you grew up in a home that was not perfect, right, like the Holy Family, then what do you do? How do you trust? So the first thing that might kind of be really practical, but I want to challenge you, is the fact that I want you to think about, are you letting God work through you? Do you have a shield up? And you got to remove the shield. We'll get on to other things secondarily, but so many times folks are like, and this is great. Man, Jesus, I'm really pissed at you because my mom died. Good. Tell him. Say it in your language. He understands exactly how you feel. Tell him exactly how you feel. Lord, my wife and I just had a miscarriage, and I'm really bent. I'm pretty fired up right now. Right? Tell him. Tell him exactly how you feel. Because the moment that you begin to, like, talk to him like a father, like a heavenly father, not the perfect dad, maybe he didn't have the perfect dad, maybe he did, whatever. But I'm talking about when the moment that you begin to say, man, I'm really struggling, and I want to help you. When you come into Mass, like a lot of times folks say, I don't get anything out of Mass. The first thing I want you to do after you put your hand in the holy water, if you kneel, fine. I need you to tell him exactly what's in your heart. Don't go home with the same garbage you came with, except take your children. But like, and don't clean out your purses in my pews. I'm sick of that. If I find you, I'm going to break your arm. Somebody's doing that. Why do I don't go to your house and clean out my pockets? Have you ever seen that? Anybody like watch people like they go to church like, oh, just here's my dirty Kleenex. Here's an old ripped up check, right? Here's a candy wrapper from Brock's, the peppermints. Just put it down there. I'm like, I don't go to your house and do that. So anyway, I just want to kind of drive home that challenge for you, like that God is really trying to give you some freedom, right? And so the moment that you enter the church, I want you to give the Lord what's in your heart. And I mean like in your language. I don't know what language you speak. Speak it to him. I find a lot of Catholics, they go in and they say, well, yeah, I'm really having a lot of trouble. I say, well, what are you going to do at Mass? Well, I don't know. I said, well, I want you to put that before the Lord, whatever it is, okay? I want you to put that before the altar. Wherever you go to church, be on time, ding, 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 all right? And then I want you to give that to the Lord, okay? Very important. Because the moment that you begin to do that, you begin to unclink the hose. The hose starts to untie, right? And you'd be surprised. Like, you go there and you say, man, I'm very, very angry. Tell him what you think is going on with you, okay? And then I want you to say at the end of that prayer, and I want you to show me, Lord, where you are in this. Do this. If you do this every Mass, I guarantee you, you'll come out and you'll be alert and you'll be awake and you're going to say, something spoke to me today. And it might not have had anything to do with the readings or the music or the homily, but you're going to come out and you're going to say, man, I have a freedom. I have a freedom. The grace that God gives to you at the Holy Mass, it depends on your participation, ladies. You got to give it. Okay? So that's a process where you can kind of work on it. You know, you kind of build it up. Oh, Monday, I'm going to bring this situation. Tuesday, I mean, you put a whole pile of garbage before the Lord, and he loves it. I remember I used to pray, I'm like, oh, he doesn't want to hear this. All right, like, I don't want to show him my F. I only want to show him my B. And he's like, I just remember one day, he's like, why do you just keep showing me the good stuff? Show me the rotten stuff, right? So if you've never done that, I can't express to you enough the significance of that, because you will have grace, all right? Now, so the first is encouraging you to hit the sacrament of confession and do so in a manner in which you've sort of examined your struggles, okay? I know it's hard. I know nobody likes to talk about their wounds, except on talk shows. But this is more powerful. When you talk to somebody about your pain, that may help you. When you go to confession, it will heal you. There's a difference. Okay? So, secondly is the Mass. I find people are carrying around some of the burdens when they leave the liturgy. How, ladies, can we ever have freedom in our hearts if we just keep sort of carrying around the same struggle? Okay? So, when you go to the Mass, put it before the Lord. The second thing is during the readings is I want you to ask the Lord, speak to my heart. You know, my parish, I pray to the Holy Spirit before I speak. So hopefully, at least whether anybody listens, but at least I hear what I think the Lord is speaking to me to say to them. Okay? So call on the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, open my heart, open my ears that I can hear you. Okay? You could be up all night with something at the house, some struggle, and you're like, I'm half asleep. I'm really hurting. I'm struggling. Okay? Don't worry about it. Give the Lord the best. Give him your pain. Give him your tiredness. Give him your struggle. And then say, Lord, I just want you to speak to me today. Okay? I want you to speak so I can hear you. It may have nothing to do with you, but I promise you, when I'm at a concelebrating, the priest is preaching, and I'm like, ding, ding. I'm thinking, okay, this is helping. I'm not necessarily dinging on what he's saying. I'm dinging something inside. I'm like, ooh, double ding. Ouch. I get every once in a while an ouch. A couple of dings and then an ouch. The ouches are moments of grace too. The ouches are like, ooh, I don't like that one. Okay? When you get an ouch, be thankful. Don't go defensive. Don't go defensive. Because the moment that you begin to go defensive is the moment that the knot gets tighter. Stay open in those moments. The grace of your femininity is the ability to be open. And so we don't want you to close up, because that's where the freedom is suffocated. God always seeks to give you grace to heal. And he's looking for people to bring his presence into the world. That demands your response. I often read sometimes from the catechism. I was talking to some folks the other day in Rockville, and I was talking to them about their baptism. And I said to them, you know, you're supposed to be a friend of Jesus. Did you know that? You were made for friendship. You weren't made to be pretty in front of Jesus. You weren't made to be perfect in front of Jesus. You were made to be a friend. let God be your friend. And if there's times when this friend didn't do what you hoped for, bring that to him and then begin to live the new friendship. The essential call of every Christian woman is the ability to bring the friendship of Christ into the world. If you are a friend of the Lord, people will recognize it. Not by the number of rosaries around your neck, or medals, or whatever. They will recognize it because you bring his presence. You bring his grace. And you have the uncanny ability to slice through the pressure of a situation and either elevate it or calm it. To either elevate it or calm it. You can say to that person, man, they must be really struggling. Or a room full of people and people are getting fired up and you can say, I know you're struggling. I can see. You can bring that. Somebody in your life, a boss, a spouse, a parent, a kid, and they're just attacking. You can bring that. You can bring that grace. But you must have the authority so it's not you that's coming out, but that it's Christ. Whether they like it or not. Okay? That is the call of holiness. And that's the grace that you have as a baptized Christian. Okay? This does not mean you need to have some extraordinary words. It means this is what you must know that you have. You have this gift by your baptism. Isn't that incredible? The day you were baptized, you got this gift to slice through the pressure. You also got the gift to elevate it and make it rotten. But it's a powerful teaching. And this is what the world needs, and this is what the church needs. The church needs you to be this. And I know that it's overwhelming. And I know one of the first things you can say is, well, I don't have all my ducks in a row, and I'm not always perfect. Okay, congratulations. That doesn't mean you're not called to do it. Listen, if I'm going to approach the pulpit and preach to a bunch of people in my house, am I going to be perfect every Sunday? No. What am I going to do, dwell on that? Well, I can't preach about this because I struggled with that in the past, so I'm just not going to say anything. I mean, I wouldn't be able to talk about any sins. Imagine. Did you fall from pride? Yeah. Okay, I take that one off the list. Anger? Yep. Jealousy? Yep. So I'm just here to say good morning. Please stand. I remember there was an old priest at the Mount. He taught us homiletics, and he's like, and gentlemen, you got to be able to live the virtues before you talk about them, and you can't hammer people if you're struggling with the sins. And one of the seminarians say, Father, I wouldn't have anything to say in my homily. But it means that that's the calling. Now, how can you overcome that doubt? Because I think there's a spiritual tension that takes place in the heart of a woman different than a man, which pushes you to insecurity. It's like a lot of guys like, I got it. I can fix it. Trust me. Follow me. I don't have any idea where I'm going, but get behind me. Great. Thanks. That's why Moses led the Jews 40 years to the desert, right? I got it. I'm the head of the family. Okay. Right? Mrs. Moses, take a left. I got it. I know where I'm going. Right? I mean, sometimes we're so afraid, you know, like, and just I just want to kind of drive home with you. Like, ladies, you don't really have to have it all together to in order to speak. I've been working with folks, you know, for all my priesthood, 15 years, like ladies, and I've seen now, or I think something opens in my heart, and when a woman brings a beautiful presence of the Holy Spirit into a situation, it is the light that dispels the darkness, okay? And that's whether that's a hospital room or nurse, you know, whatever. You are called to do that. And if you get in there and you're just getting a lot of interior doubts or fears, you just say, Lord, I'm just work through me, Lord. Just be, let me be an instrument. If this is new to you or the sense that God can use you, I actually think that that's either a spiritual struggle that you're going through, or that's a lie that you're hearing in your heart based on your past. Or you're afraid to be a light in the darkness. Okay? It's a lie, okay? Which is probably a lot of times what it is. You can't be that. Don't you know you had this struggle in your past? Don't you know that you never really fixed that situation in your relationships? Okay, fine. And so what happens is we're afraid. And I don't need you to bang the tambourine and talk about Jesus. I'm just trying to tell you, like, bring God there. And the first thing you do is you just pray through it. Jesus, just bring your presence here. Somebody's getting fired up. Somebody's getting their tail chewed out. Come, Holy Spirit, and give me the words to speak. Give me the words to say to my spouse or my kids or my boss, my priest, so I can bring his presence there. Okay? That's your calling. That is everybody's calling in this room. The moment that you experience it and the moment that you believe it is the moment that you begin to be an instrument of God and bringing holiness into the world. And this took me a couple of years to believe because I always just wanted to believe, get that guy, he looks holier than I, right? This guy knows all the saints, I don't know any of them, right? Saint Redskin, pray for us. And all these guys are like, and I didn't know. And what I struggled with was, God, you don't want to use me. You don't want to use me because my curriculum vitae has a lot of baggage in it. And I actually say to you, no, I actually disagree. I actually think that those who have a pretty excellent curriculum vitae from their past can be great instruments of healing. You don't have to have all the sins, but you have to know that God can work through your healing. So the first talk today, which I'm just trying to kind of help you focus, is to ask you the question, do you know that God wants to use you? And I'm going to raise the bar. There may be people in your lives that are not coming to Christ because you're staying in your comfort zone of insecurity and fear. For some of you, walking in that confessional and dropping those sin bombs on the priest May begin the healing process. But for some of you, you're like, I'm not doing it. Okay, then people are going to suffer. People are going to suffer, man. That's a truth. That's a truism. God has you, those people are in your life because you are called to be an instrument of God for them. Incredible. Think about it. And the moment that your faith begins to be not perfect or more religious looking per se, but the moment it begins, man, it's like a hot coal. Everything it touches, it brings heat. Everything. So I begin to believe and trust and cast out those mental doubts and those lies. And I touch this gal. You know what? She's going to feel the presence of God. And this gal's going to feel the presence of God. And so on and so on. You don't have to be spectacular. You don't have to have the catechism down. I just wanted today to first talk to say to you that God wants to use you. And Scripture is full of examples of using inanimate objects, mud, water. God's used wine, bread, he's used all that stuff, spit. My mom used spit also when she was. I think I have to ask you a question. How many of you, because this borders on a mortal sin. How many of you have ever taken a napkin and spit on it and then wiped your kids' faces? Oh, my gosh. Seriously. Thank you. There are people with addictions now, thanks to you. They're addicted to Purell. They're like... And we all know, for some reason, I don't know why baby spit doesn't smell, but, like, mom spit, it smells. And so it's not like you put it, like, here. You put it always, like, right around the olfactory nerves or nose. And So I ask you, when you go to confession, if you've been away from a long time, just say, Father, and I have to tell you, I used to spit on a napkin and wipe my kids' faces. And if that priest had it happen to him, you will have a huge penance. I saw a woman doing that not long ago. I said, what are you doing? I said, I hated that. You know, and people, oh, it's just mom spit. I said, that's different than baby spit. When you change a diaper, like a little baby diaper, like, oh, that's such a beautiful poo-poo. Look at the baby. I'm not like that when I'm like changing, like helping some old man. Oh, wow, this is great, right? It's just different. It's just different, right? So I want to encourage you. Do you recognize that your calling is to do it? And it's so impressive when a woman knows this. And the problem is, and I'm going to just help you realize, it comes with a struggle. Here's what happens. When you begin to allow God to work through you, and you begin to really live like this beautiful life, you go through a lot of struggle from people. They don't want to be around you. You might go through a lot of like temptations. Like, you're like, what? Why is this happening to me? Old memories come back, and they come back at you in the most perverted way. Or people that you're loving will get manipulated. You're like, man, what's wrong with me? Am I losing it? It's actually a confirmation, ladies. It's a confirmation that you're doing the right thing, because Satan is trying to block you from being a light in the darkness. And so just as the light is coming up, he wants to block that and say, you can't do that. Look at that thought you have. Look at that desire that just came into your heart. Out of nowhere, you're like, I'm living a good life. I haven't had that struggle in a while. And all of a sudden, you get a tsunami of emotions or temptations. I can tell you through experience and working with people that you can almost sense, wow, that's really not from God. Right? And old wounds, and as I've seen people begin to to be instruments, like they just begin to struggle. One gal I knew was healing, and she had some struggle with food at some time, right? And then, like as soon as she started like speaking about God in a loving way, people would come up. Man, she just got like tsunamied with all these like food passions and desires, and it was like Satan was trying to suffocate the instrument of God for her. God was using her voice and her mouth. And what was she doing? Like it was coming out like grace. And Satan was like, put food in, stuff it down, don't talk about it. And she had this insight, Lord, like why do I just want to eat the house? And the grace was because Satan is trying to block you from being an instrument. All of us have these areas in our life that when you begin to be an instrument of God, Satan is going to try to stop you. It's part of the spiritual life. Scripture's going to talk about it tomorrow. He went around, he cast out demons. Doesn't say cast out epilepsy. Doesn't say cast out people with migraines. He cast out demons. And when you begin to sort of like grow spiritually, then not only may you have this struggle, but people around you may. And that's another way for people to be sort of spiritually attacked. So I'm beginning to come alive. And my wife has some struggles. But as I come alive and I talk about the Lord to a coworker, and I say, man, let's go to confession together. Let's try to make this heal. All of a sudden, my wife starts getting angry or something goes on in her life. Watch for that. Recognize that Satan might not be able to poke you in the eye, but he can poke somebody in the eye who can poke you in the eye. Watch for that. I need you to be aware of that. The call to holiness isn't walking through, you know, a field with just flowers. It's a battle. The catechism says the spiritual life is a battle. That's a beautiful thing. Christ went through a battle. But ladies, when you enter into the mystery of this, you don't have to be afraid. You can actually just enter in with real courage because you go in with the strength of the Holy Spirit. You are a Christ bearer. That's what a Christian is. You are a Christ bearer. You have the power of Christ in your identity through your baptism. You are a Christ bearer. And the Satan and the evil spirits, they fall down in worship. But before they fall down in worship, they yell and they mock and they scream and they intimidate and they make all kinds of disturbances around you. Have no fear. Have no fear. As you get closer to Christ, Satan says, no, you come back. And it doesn't mean you have to be a very great sinner. But unless you're really evangelizing by witnessing to the mercy and love of Christ, ladies, it's so easy to just stay in our comfort zone and say, well, as long as it's not happening in my backyard. But you know what? Everybody in this church has somebody that people need to touch, to reach out and touch. I want somebody to show up at my family's door and say, hey, you want to come to church? But they won't hear my knock. There are people in your lives that won't hear your knock, but you're supposed to knock on that other person's door to be the knocker to bring them back. Absolutely. You want a truism? This is my belief. You begin to evangelize and speak of Christ, somebody will end up knocking on your family's door. I promise you. No question. I can tell you as I sit here, I've told folks, get off the bench and start doing what God has called you to do. What about my family? My family's not, my husband doesn't go to church. I'm like, what do you want, a medal? Who cares? Get off and start doing it. And let God take care of your husband. And you know what? All of a sudden, his buddy, that husband goes out and has a beer with somebody. They're just talking about God or talking about men's group or something like that. Before you know it, they start going to church, you know, and things start happening. I promise you. You don't have to fix everybody. I just need you to be the instrument that God has called you to be. Talk to your kids and witness to them. Tell them, yes, Christ is in my life, and I want to share the grace of God with him. Don't talk about, you don't have to talk about the rules of the church yet. Don't talk about that yet. The Holy Father is just saying, talk about your personal relationship with Christ. That's what he's telling everybody. That's what he's telling everybody. Talk about it. Right? So let's do it. Phyllis, stand and tell the women about your relationship with Christ. Right. Very good. Very good. Sam, stand and tell the ladies about Jesus Christ. Eva, stand and tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them. What has Christ done for you? Was that hard? That's all it is. This is the grace of God in my life. You know what? And I saw some of you ducking, so I know where you are. You want to know why this is so significant? Because that's all that needs to be. Jesus Christ is my best friend, and he's helped me through my drinking. He's helped me through some times in my life, and I can't imagine where I would be without him. And my love for Christ is something that grows and grows each day. And no matter what I go through, no matter how much pain I go through, I may get mad at him, but he'll always be my best friend. Tammy, stand and tell the ladies about your stroke.
On October 29th of this year, actually, let me back up 2 more days. 27th of October, I actually did the 10K for the Marine Corps Marathon. So I went from running that to 2 days later, I was on my way to work and I had a stroke. Ended up being flown out to Washington Hospital Center, lost my words. I had lost the whole left side of my body. It was through lots of prayers and lots of offering. I mean, I was there for a week in the hospital, 2 weeks at NRH, National Rehab. And it was through, and I took that time as my suffering and offered that back for our priests. So every single step, which was a struggle for me, I lifted that and offered that for priests, for struggles for my friends, for lots of struggles with it. And through all that, I can tell you, although I've been feeling, I've seen so many people around me who keep telling me I'm an inspiration to them, but I see the community of faith around me actually become an inspiration for me as well. So Christ in my life, just short of that, my whole family's come back to church. I've had physical healing through a digestive disorder I had since a child. I was healed
3 years ago.
About 3 years ago for that, and every medication that I'd been through, I was getting ready to have a major surgery, and then the doctors couldn't figure out why that healed. It was miraculous, which I knew. My whole family's come back to church, and just recently my dad has been healed of leukemia. At this moment, he's through the Eucharist, it's through adoration, it's through prayer.
Yeah. So in a minute, we're going to take a break. But so Tammy, after the stroke, I'm very close to her family, is involved in a lot of that. And so she would send me a text message, you know, and just so beautiful. So I took her story and I preached on it. I preached at five masses. So the first text came in like Tuesday. She said, "Father Dan, I took 29 steps for priest today." A couple days later, right, honey? "I took 56 steps for priest today." And then the last one's like, "I took 79 steps. One woman and the attempt to be holy touched countless lives." And so she's texting me. She's like, "Father, you got to come here. This guy wants to come back to church." Like, she's like a little Pied Piper, you know? And I'm like, I know. It's so funny. They say, "Father, we know you're really busy. We don't want to overwhelm you, but I'm up here at Hopkins. Could you come up and talk to this man on the night duty at 11 o'clock? He wants to come back to the church, right? I told him all about you." Thanks, Tammy. Tell him all. The idea is that it doesn't matter. This beautiful gal and her smile can affect many, many people. That's your calling. Really. I'm not minimizing it, but that's how sincerely I believe in the authority that God gives to you. You are not meant to be under a bushel basket. You are meant to shine. And some of you have a joyful disposition. Some of you, it's a little bit more melancholic. Some of you, it may be whatever it may be. I just want to close. Like, where is God in your life? And then allowing God to work through that. And allowing God to work through that. Okay? Honestly, one woman can heal anything. No question. This whole faith thing started with Mary. She just said, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'm in." And then everything kind of took off. So it's 11:15. I know it would be unreasonable for me to say 10 minutes, so why don't I say 10 minutes, but I really mean 15. We'll see you in a minute. God bless you, ladies. Okay?